It's All Things Considered. I'm Jamie Floyd.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road.
Same here.
I look very much forward to the inauguration. It's going to be a beautiful event. We have great talent, tremendous talent. And I think we're going to have massive crowds because we have a movement. It's a movement like the world has never seen before.
And I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
WNYC's Arun Venugopal and Matt Katz are spending this week driving from Trump Tower to the White House to find out what people are thinking about this Friday's inauguration. They're in Philadelphia and its suburbs today. Arun got a tour of West Philly, a historically black neighborhood where thousands of people marched on Martin Luther King Day against the incoming Trump administration.
As we drove around Philadelphia, there were all these signs of black history that jumped out at me for the first time. Marian Anderson's childhood home, a mural of Paul Robeson that is four stories tall.
So this is the first AME church in the world. It's the oldest piece of land continuously held by African Americans.
This is Reverend Mark Kelly Tyler. He's the pastor of the Mother Bethel AME Church, which formed in the 1790s right here in Philadelphia. For years, the church had to fight to hold on to its property. White churches tried to destroy it. In the 19th century, its congregants were at risk of being kidnapped and returned to slavery. That history gives Reverend Tyler a long view about this particular moment.
I have witnessed clergy friends of mine, other activists, organizers, even elected officials who have called me who said, I literally in this moment don't know what to do. So we have to do something to shake people out of this moment. Look, it's not the end of the world. This is a democracy. So if you don't get what you want in an election, you fight until you get it.
In a somewhat odd way, the brutal history that this community and church have been witness to makes the idea of resistance a little less intimidating.
Here's what I take from history, that the African-American leaders who helped make America what it is today did so mostly before they had the right to vote. They did not have black elected officials to look to for support.
No black mayors or governors. No black president.
They didn't have any of it, and somehow they forced the country to change against its will.
The challenge for Reverend Tyler and other organizers is to convince people that the civil rights movement can succeed. Pastor Nicholas O'Rourke works with Power in West Philly, a group that deals with issues like criminal justice reform, economic inequality, and gentrification.
It makes, for a moment, those of us who do this every day, it makes us sad. Not surprised, but it makes us sad that some of these fights that we thought we won and we thought we had moved past, we're going to have to refight again.
For instance, Pennsylvania nearly passed a police anonymity bill, making it a felony for someone to make public the name of a police officer if they were charged with shooting someone. In the end, he said there was enough pushback, and the governor vetoed the bill.
We have to still fight these same battles of things that are obvious. That, I think, is the painful piece, is realizing that the work is not done and there's so much work to do. But I'm comforted in the fact that we are, it's a Jewish concept, we are not required to complete the work, but we are not allowed to not do it.
A few blocks away, I met with Alonzo Davis, a longtime resident of West Philly. The uncertainty of a Trump presidency has him worried for the young people in his community, about losing access to education, having a harder time finding a job, having resources and facilities in their neighborhood. And what he hears around town is that after 8 years under the country's first black president, West Philly now feels like it's on the wrong side of history.
They're just saying we're in trouble. You got to make yourself prepared for just in case. You just have to be prepared.
So in West Philly, they're preparing for a rollback of civil rights. And Matt, for some people, this is what history is all about, right? It's not linear. But for others, they're really worried and they have no idea how to react right now.
Yeah, and I can tell you that feeling extends well beyond West Philly. We went to Warminster, a middle-class, mostly white suburb of Philadelphia that went for Donald Trump by a mere 484 votes. Hillary Clinton did not win enough votes among white women in swing suburban areas of Pennsylvania like this one to counter big losses in the state's Rust Belt. That could have major consequences at a two-story building near a strip of industrial parks where a small blue sign hangs out front. It says, Planned Parenthood. I came to see how patients and medical practitioners here are dealing with the fact that a president backed by their very own community may soon defund the organization and appoint Supreme Court justices who reverse Roe v. Wade.
Hey, Matt, right? I'm Sarah. Nice to meet you. Come on in.
On the wall of a conference room are yellowed newspaper clippings from legendary battles, activists knocking on doors in the 1960s, pictures of early iterations of the pill. But the patient I meet has a story about Planned Parenthood that isn't about abortion or birth control at all.
I'm Shay. I am from Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
Shay started going to Planned Parenthood at 15 for general medical care, then at 16 for contraception. She never had an abortion but continued to rely on Planned Parenthood for annual medical exams.
Actually, I was 26 years old. It was during an annual pap exam that they discovered I had a cancer cells starting to adhere to my cervix. I had no health insurance. I didn't know what I was going to do, and it was really scary.
Shay had an outpatient procedure to remove the cancer cells. 10 years later, she's cancer-free, has a 2.5-year-old son, and another on the way.
I mean, everybody's always so focused on the abortion aspect. They don't think that Planned Parenthood actually gives people their lives back. I'm very thankful they gave me my life, they gave my children their life.
Shay's so thankful that over the summer she attended a protest against Trump when he came to town by standing outside with a Planned Parenthood sign. Trump supporters called her a baby killer. She was spit on. It landed on her shoes.
It was chaos and it was scary, but I would go again because I strongly believe that we need to speak up. We need to keep Planned Parenthood funded.
There are various ways Trump could affect Planned Parenthood. Abortions are just a small percentage of their work and almost never funded by the government. But Trump has vowed to appoint pro-life justices to the Supreme Court. He promised to repeal the Affordable Care Act, which expanded Medicaid, which pays for medical care at Planned Parenthood. Obamacare also requires insurance companies to give women access to copay-free birth control. That could be rolled back, too. Yet white women in suburbs like this one we now know voted for Trump.
They believe that that was not what was at stake.
Danielle Crewe is the director of public affairs for this Planned Parenthood.
And that's not what this was election about, whether it had been about jobs, the change.
And Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973. So women under the age of 35 can't even conceive of a time when birth control and abortions weren't available. Some may now be recognizing the consequences of the election. Since November, Planned Parenthood nationwide reported a 900% increase in demand for IUDs. And that's just one birth control method. As we leave, we run into Beth Ann Morgan, who has been Shay's nurse practitioner since she first came to Planned Parenthood at 15. Morgan was the one who discovered Shay's cancer. Morgan says her work doesn't change after the inauguration.
Because that's what we're here to do. We're here to provide safe services for women. And whether Trump is the president, Obama's the president, Bush, it doesn't matter. Our job is to take care of women.
Morgan picks up some Planned Parenthood signs to bring to the women's protest against Trump on Saturday. She heads to her car, and she says goodbye to Shay. She may not see her again before the second baby arrives.
Send me pictures of arms, when it's all done. Yeah. I love a good end to a story. Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end to our story, Arun. Anything to add?
Well, onward, I suppose. Next, we head to Maryland. That includes the county that experienced a bigger jump in hate crimes than any county in America. So we'll see what people have to say in a place that's already experiencing the onset of the Trump era. For WNYC, I'm Arun Vanagopal.
And I'm Matt Katz.
We'll hear that report tomorrow on All Things Considered. You can follow along with Matt and Arun on their trip with the hashtag WNYC2DC and on WNYC.org.